Hi, this is Dr. Lisa, and I'm so glad to be talking with you all today. The body of change. So your body talks. Did you know that your body talks? Well, let me tell you, I do, and this is how I really learned and really learned to listen. I wasn't feeling so well a couple of years ago, and frankly, I hadn't been feeling well for a number of years, and especially after my father had passed away sometime in 2012. I just never bounced back. So somewhere around 2016, I sat in front of my computer. My body told me to. I decided to listen. I closed my eyes and I just said, "Body, let me know what's going on. I know something is wrong, but I don't know what it is. And I'm getting tired, and I'm kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired." So I typed. Well, my body typed. My fingers typed. I kept my eyes closed. And then I started to notice this liquid stuff rolling down my face from my eyes, and it was tears. And it was my body. And my body was crying. In fact, it was screaming and had been screaming at me for a very long time. And it said so many things to me that I'm living with today and decided to create this podcast about that I wanted to share with you. Now, if you're listening to this, it's likely that your body may be screaming to you. Your body may be talking to you. Your body may be wanting something that you don't even know how to give it or what it may be saying. And that's okay, because I didn't know either. I just decided one day to listen, like I told you, and to sit at the computer and type it. So, I don't know, it's probably about 20 to 30 minutes. I opened my eyes. I read what was on the computer screen. In fact, I printed it out. Because you know how when you look at the computer screen, you can kind of distance yourself from it a little bit? And I was shocked. My body was basically telling me how I was killing it, how it has tried so hard to get me in touch with what I was eating, what I was drinking, what I wasn't doing, how I wasn't moving it, how I was treating it. And frankly, the long and the short of it was that I really didn't care about it because I didn't care about me. But somewhere inside of me cared because I wouldn't have sat down and did the exercise, right? I knew something was wrong. I hadn't been feeling well. And I was overweight. I was relying on alcohol a lot too much. I was in pain every day. I was unable, lethargic, to exercise the way I used to. And I was an avid physical exerciser, up and down the mountains, yoga, racquetball, softball, tennis, horseback riding, biking, dancing. Like, I used to love to do it all. And then it stopped. And it progressively got worse from 2012 on until 2016 when I sat there. And it didn't get better right away. But I started to listen. And it's so funny because as a professional and as a practitioner in the mental health field, energy healing, consciousness field, author, facilitator, one of the questions, it's so funny, that I ask my clients all the time, individually or in the groups, domestically or internationally, is the same thing. If your body could speak, what would it say? If that pain in your body could speak, what would it say? If that feeling that you're having could speak, what would it say? What would that feeling be? Is it anger? Is it shame? Is it rage? Is it resentment? Is it regret? Is it sadness? And I was really good at facilitating other people to communicate with their body. But I found that it was really hard for me to do the same for myself. Until I made the choice that no matter what it took, no matter what I was going to do, no matter who I was going to lose, what was going to change, what I had to face, I was tired. Like I said before, sick and tired of being sick and tired. I wanted my body to match what I knew it could look like. Now, at the time, I was about 80 pounds heavier. And if you're listening from another country, that'd be about 40 to 45 kilos heavier than I am now. And at the time, I was sick, undiagnosed at the time, I didn't know, with a serious bacterial infection. Now, this wasn't the first time I was ill. Years prior, I was diagnosed with a life-threatening thyroid disorder and focused a lot on healing myself back then and energy healing, and was really grateful that I was able to clear the disease with minimal allopathic medical intervention. I met with an endocrinologist back then, and they told me that I had three choices: to kill it, to have surgery, have it removed, and be on medication for the rest of my life. And I said, there has to be another way. And I'll never forget this 6'6" doctor looking down on me. I'm only about 5'4.5". And he said, there is no other way. Well, I never went back again. And I found myself at the Theta Healing Institute at the time in Idaho Falls, Idaho. It's now in Montana. And within 3 weeks of going to the Theta Healing Institute, taking intuitive anatomy classes and learning that energy modality and becoming certified to teach it, the disease was gone. Took a little while for my body to get back to functioning on its own, but still have my thyroid and my endocrine system works very well. So way back when, this is before 2016, and certainly before 2012, when my father had passed away, I knew it was possible that the body could heal itself, and energy healing modalities, body processes, body work, along with naturopathic means and homeopathic means, could literally heal the body, heal myself. And I had proof of that. So it was really interesting when 2016 came around and I was gaining weight, more and more weight, more and more weight. I was feeling more and more lethargic, more and more depressed. My business was having so many staffing issues and financial problems, and there was conflicts, and people that I was contracting with were not delivering, and they thought they were delivering, and you know, it was just a mess. And you know, like those times in your life where the universal crunch, everything's going awry, and you just know that you have to make a change. Well, that's what hit me that day, that night that I sat there with the computer and my body. And I was committed. Now, I didn't know how it was going to play out. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was committed to changing what was going on with my body. And I was still doing energy healing and working with therapeutic means and non-therapeutic means, more holistic spiritual means. I was doing it all, but nothing was changing it. So after I read through that letter that my body wrote, which was all about how I was not focusing on my body, how I was in so much judgment of my body, how I was carrying so many resentments of my childhood that I could not let go of. And yeah, I had every reason, quote unquote, logically, lots of abuses, emotional, physical, financial, sexual. I always joke that I took one for the team. And that's why I'm really good at doing what I do around the world, facilitating people beyond their cage of limitations, constrictions, abuses, And with the technique I created, the Roar technique, R-O-A-R, and choosing a life of radical aliveness. Like, I knew it. However, I wasn't living it. I knew, though, it was inside of me. And I was really good at facilitating it with everybody else. But there came that time in 2016 that I just said, I need help. I give. Body, show me the way. So, the first thing my body showed me to do was actually go and check out bariatric surgery called the gastric sleeve. And I checked out a whole bunch of them, and none of them felt right for me, but the gastric sleeve did, and I found a great solution, great doctor in Dallas, Texas, and a great clinic, and it worked out really, really well for me. And here's the interesting thing. I only told one person at the time, and that was my then partner, because I didn't really want anybody else's judgments, anybody else's points of view. I wanted this just to be me and my body. And, you know, that one closest to me, since they were going to be doing some of the self-care afterward. And I have to tell you, I also didn't say anything about it originally because I was a little ashamed. And I didn't want to fuel that shame. Why was I ashamed? Well, I felt like I was a failure, that I cured myself through the theta healing and some other means of life-threatening disease, Graves' disease, parasites, heavy metals, all that way back in 2005. And I thought I could do it again. And I thought there was something wrong with me, that I wasn't as good as a healer as I thought, or I wasn't as good as a person as I thought, that I needed help, that all my clients and the world would judge me because I sought out this possibility, and I cheated, so to speak. And I really had to keep that at bay. And I got a lot of judgment from those closest to me at the time for not speaking to it. And there was some rightness to that, because I knew a lot of people would actually, what I now know is a lot of people are very, very supportive. And when I do come out and tell the whole story, like I hope you are here on the podcast, and the soon-to-be-released book by the same title, The Body of Change. Well, maybe not so soon. About 6 to 9 months from now. But it's coming. Tell-all book. But this is the brief version of it. To let you know, as we continue on, what this podcast is going to be, and at what lengths was I willing to go to change my body, change my lifestyle, change me, and live externally and internally externally aligned, which I am today, in all genuineness and authenticity. And sure, I'm not perfect, and I'm not striving for perfection. I strive for progress, not perfection. And when I went for the surgery, it was really, really miraculous and very, very difficult. The surgery itself, the whole process leading up to it, so such ease and such grace. The doctors, the nurses, the one-day clinic unit, everything. Coming home and healing from such an intense... I haven't had any surgeries before then. I think I had wisdom teeth surgery. and one broken nose. So I did have two minor surgeries, but nothing like this. And it took me a really long time to get back to eating food and food being an ally and not an enemy. Because I don't know about you, but where I grew up, since there was a lot of violence in the household, I didn't learn how to chew. I learned how to swallow and move and get out of there. And so some of those habits really die hard. And it took a good year to year and a half to really learn the art of using food as a homeopathic. And that was one, two, or three bites, and I was done. And so many people were like, oh my God, how do you even do that? You know, because we have America here, supersize everything. And it was really a fascinating journey, realizing how much my body did not actually require as much food as I was putting in it. And frankly, how also more creative and intuitive and energetic I was without being laden down by so much food and the heaviness of foods in my body. I grew up in New York. I grew up in an Italian family, and we ate. And we ate Hungry Man pot pies, McDonald's, you know, white breads, cakes, pastas, pizza. Still love my pizza, like you wouldn't believe. And I had to learn each moment in that first year and a half of literally stopping before I ate. And sometimes I learned the hard way, and my body would let me know. Body speaks. And it would let me know that what I ate was not good, that my body didn't like it, and that I really needed to get more present with food. And so I did. And it's still to this day, 3 or 4 years later, my body still tells me, with what I put in it, immediately, if my body likes it, if it's good for my body or not. Now, some people may think that that's annoying. It's not annoying to me. I am free to eat anything and everything that I want at any moment. And that has been the greatest gift. I just don't eat as much, and I make better choices, and I'm more present. And my body and I have a relationship, if you would call it a creationship. We're allies, and we used to be enemies and at war. I suffered from bulimia. I was on every kind of diet imaginable. I took every kind of pill imaginable, you know, growing up. And I wasn't even that heavy. It was just always a problem, me and this body. And I tracked it back to a lot of the abuses and really, frankly, just not wanting to be in a body or be here. And that's what my books are about. That's what my workshop's about. That's what my business is about now. Is really literally learning how to be embodied as the brilliant creators that we be and as the beings that we be, but also with our body. And if you're like me and you've had significant abuses in your past, you may not want to be, and you certainly may not want to be in your body. And all that weight on my body, all that judgment was like fat on my body. And every time I ate something, I was digesting the resentments, rejections, regrets, anger, rages, furies, hatreds of all the people, places, situations, and events that I felt violated me and betrayed me. And I was literally locked in a cage. But I, the being that is today, was still underneath that cage. I just needed to get the weight off and face what I was too afraid at one point to face. And that's literally what I chose and committed to that day when I wrote from my fingers onto the computer with my eyes closed. And the universe collaborated to conspire to bless me and showed me this one thing, the surgery, and then many more things that I'm going to share with you as we go forward on this podcast. Because about a year and a half after that surgery, I was looking better, feeling better, but I was still in pain. And in fact, I was looking better weight-wise, but I looked at myself and I was still looking sick. And I didn't know what it was, you know, like the kind of gaunt in the face. And I came back from my tour. One was in Utah, and then I went over to Australia. And I came back from Australia, and within 3 days of coming back home from Australia, I ended up in the emergency room here in Dallas, Texas, and then stayed 8 days in the hospital over Christmas with an undiagnosed bacterial infection, a fever of like 105 for 8 straight days that they thought I was going to have to on the 8th day, which was literally Christmas Day at 9 a.m., the doctor came in and said to me, "I don't want to do this surgery, but if that fever hasn't gone down and we've given you everything we can give you for 8 straight days and that fever doesn't go down on this day, we have to go in and do a full hysterectomy and a full this, that, and the other thing." And I was like, that is not going to happen, and I don't think I'm strong enough to survive. And she literally said to me that day, "I don't want to do the surgery." And I said, "I don't want to do it either." And we checked the temperature, and on that day, on Christmas, my fever dropped, and I was discharged, and I didn't have to go to the surgery. It took two months to take the medication, stay on antibiotics, and get with a specialized gynecologist in Dallas, Texas, again. You know, the universe collaborated to conspire to bless me. And I found this amazing woman, and she did the surgery for me 2 months later, once the infection had gone down. And I did have one of my ovaries removed. And that was such an interesting story, that was the only organ that had to be removed from that bacterial infection. The doctor said, "I'd never seen a monster like that before." And which, the monster meaning what developed the bacterial infection around the ovary, not my body, not the ovary, but my ovary, that little beautiful ovary on the left-hand side of my body. I know now, my body told me, that it took every abuse from the age of 3, infancy, 3, 7, 11, 13, all the way up to 25, every smack, every verbal jab and dagger, every sexual assault, every physical abuse, every financial and spiritual malady. And it took it. And I just gave up. And I survived. And I am healthy and alive and radically alive now. And it was after that surgery and after I got well, and again, it took another couple of months to do so. So now we're hitting somewhere around late 2017, that I was able to start traveling again and doing my workshops. And I was able to witness the body of change. And you could see pictures, and we put them through our memes, my memes and the books and everything, of what it's been like from 2017 until 2019. Now, and I can freely say, authentically and genuinely today, that when I look at myself in the mirror, I see the being that was underneath the cage of all that abuse from childhood until now, looking back at me, the one that was before the abuse, the one that is within all of us, that can never be broken, that can never be changed, that can never be damaged or defective. Because who you are is your soul print, likened to that of a fingerprint. It's unique to each of us, and if you have a surgery or you get sick or you've been abused, your soul print, your fingerprint, doesn't change. It is as strong a print as it ever was. The being you are can never be broken, no matter what your tragedy, trauma, or loss is. It's just a matter of whether you choose to remember who you are, what you are, what you are destined to be, and to choose it no matter what has occurred. To choose it because it's your divine birthright. To choose it because you deserve to be. To choose it just simply because you are. I will leave that with you today. You matter. You exist. Now roar, and I'll be back with another episode of The Body of Change. This is Dr. Lisa, and thanks for listening. Know that your body is a gift. It is a possibility. And it loves you. Bye for now. Until next time.